Matthew chapter 24, I want to read about four or verses or so. I'm going to skip around in this chapter. The first verse I want to go to is Matthew 24 and verse number 4. The Bible said, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man," look at that word, "deceive you." In verse number 5, he said, "For many," not a few, not just a three or four, he said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall," there's that word again, "deceive many." Many will deceive many. Verse number 1, or verse number 4, he said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Because he said there's going to come a time that there's going to be many that's going to come in his name saying, "I'm Christ," and they're going to deceive many. And then go down in verse number 11. And he says, "And many false prophets shall," that's future, "arise," or "shall rise, and shall deceive many." There's that word "many" again. And then in verse number 24, same chapter, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." We looked at that word "deceive." There's four different verses in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can open the unadulterated Word of God and declare its truths. Lord, I ask this morning that you take a live coal off the altar of God and lay it upon our tongues. Lord, somehow get our attention. Lord, everybody in this building's been busy, and they've got things that they have done and things that they're thinking about doing. And Lord, I realize that the devil don't want their minds to be thinking this morning on the message. But I pray that you'd drive back the demons of hell, that you'll drive back the forces of darkness, that you'll drive back the devil long enough, God, for us to insert the gospel into their hearts. And Father, may they hear the truth. Help us, Lord, to teach it like it ought to be taught, preach it like it ought to be preached, present it like it ought to be presented. And we can't do that without the unction of the Holy Ghost of God from heaven. So I pray you open our hearts and minds and help us to be receptive and give that driving force to drive into the hearts of these people. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. First one lost, save them. Out of the will of God, touch them. And Lord, may we go home saying it's been good to be into the Lord's house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach on "Be not deceived." I want to preach on deception. I want to preach on this morning that which many are suffering under: deception. What does it mean to be deceived? What does it mean to be under the influence of deception? It means this morning that you've been led astray. It means being turned from the truth. That's what deception is. Everybody in this building's got all kinds of ideas of what deception might be. And you're probably running through your mind, and I hope you are, "Have I been deceived?" I tell you, the one thing I want to know, when I draw my life's breath, I want to know that I heard the truth, I know the truth, and I'm going to heaven when this life's over. Amen. Somebody said, "I don't even believe it's such a place." Then you are surely one of those I'm going to talk to this morning. You've been deceived. And that word "deceived" means you've been hoodwinked. That's a little common term that old hillbillies use. Hoodwinked. It means that you've been slipped a counterfeit. Amen. How many of you would rather have a 1,000 $100 bills if it's all counterfeit. How many would rather have just one that's not? Amen. I can just see a half a dozen you crooks in here saying, I'll take all them counterfeits because I can get rid of them. Amen. It means this morning if you've been deceived that you've been lied to. Somebody told you something wrong. It means that if you've been deceived, spiritually speaking, you have been persuaded and convinced to believe error and not truth. I got to thinking about this and I said in heaven, heaven's full of believers. The earth is full of deceivers. And hell is full of those who have been deceived. And everybody in hell this morning has been deceived. And they've accepted something. Now I'm going to give you a lot of Bible today. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures and most of them we're not going to turn to. I've got them in front of me so I'm going to read them to you. And you just jot them down and go home and study them because I don't have the time. The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 11 in verse number 16... And I want to use this little phrase, be not deceived, which is mentioned about five times in the scriptures. And we're going to look at each one of those scriptures. And it says in Deuteronomy 11:16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. If I'm reading my Bible correctly this morning, it's not just the lost man or woman that can get deceived. It is the child of God likewise. Amen. Somebody said, I've been saved by the grace of God and you can't change that. No, but I can deceive you in some other areas of your life. I can't take your soul from you. I don't believe that you can get saved today and lost tonight or next week or the next week or next month or next year. I believe if you get really in and get saved, you're saved for time and eternity. Knocking on the door one Saturday morning in a little trailer park. I went over and knocked on the front door. Nobody come to the door. And I heard some banging in the back and I kind of unlocked or opened and unlocked. But I opened the little gate, walked around to the back and the fellow was working in a little back building back there. And I said, hello, sir. And he said, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. I said, I want to know this morning, have you been saved? He said, four or five times. I said, well, I'll tell you what, you get one good case of it and you'll quit that foolishness. Amen. And it'll be for time and eternity. That got his attention. I want to tell you this morning, I'm not here to try to change your idea about your salvation. I couldn't anyhow if you're saved by the grace of God. But I can stand here and tell you this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, you better get yourself under the preaching the Word of God to understand what the truth is and be not deceived. Now what he's saying to his people, you see, he's speaking to the Israelites. He's speaking to his people. And he's saying here, guard your heart, guard your soul, guard your heart from being deceived. Amen. God's people can be deceived. They can be led in the wrong direction. They can be made to believe something that's not so and something that's not true. And I rub shoulders with men and women every day that believe things that are not true. And some of them I believe have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. You hearing me? We got a lot of people believe that you can, as I said a while ago, believe you can lose your salvation. They've been deceived. If they've actually been saved, they've been deceived to believe something that's not in the Bible. God said, I give unto you eternal life, and I believe that eternal life is forever. Let me give you some things here this morning, or some people, and some things that you can be led astray on and by. Number one, the devil can deceive you. He's the author of deception. I mean, he's the master deceiver, if you will. But not only that, but family members can deceive you. Friends can deceive you. Self, your own self can deceive you. If you want to walk by the flesh and not study the Word of God, you can be deceived in your own flesh. We can know today that many churches have deceived a multitudes of people, and they have died and gone to hell and have led some that's on their way to hell today. Churches can do that. Not only churches, but preachers can do that. Preachers have led many people into the pits of hell, and many of them are in hell now because preachers have not told them the truth, and they did not hear the gospel message of salvation, and they're in hell this morning. You believe that? If you don't, you've already been deceived. I'm serious. Well, you can be deceived by things. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, he says this. He said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God said liquor, alcohol can deceive you. Drugs can deceive you. The things of the world can deceive you. I'm saying this morning, it's not just people. It's not just churches. It's not just preachers. It's just not the public. It can be things that can deceive you. You better make sure this morning that you're under the right thing. And so God has told His people. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 8, the second, be not deceived. He said, and He said, take heed that you be not deceived. Take heed that you be not deceived. Take heed. That means look at the situation. Open your eyes. Take heed. Don't pass it off to the side. When the preacher preaches, don't pass it to the wayside. He said, take heed. That means when you take heed, you're going to look at it. You're going to address it. That means you're going to examine it. You're going to see this thing. Take heed lest you be not deceived, or that you be not deceived. He said, for many shall come in my name. We read this in Matthew, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. They're going to come, and they're going to say, hey, I'm Christ, or I'm of Christ. They're going to say, I'm the right. They're going to say sometimes, we are the way. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the right. A life. Amen. The Baptist is not the way. They're just presenting the way. Amen. This preacher's not the way to heaven, brother, but this preacher preaches the way to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? There's multitudes, they'll tell you, just do good. Amen. Just perform good deeds. Be good to your neighbor. Amen. I mean, just a few things that you've got to do, and they look at that, and if you're that way, you'll get deceived. Amen. Salvation is by the grace of God. Be not deceived, He said. He said, be not deceived. Take heed that you be not deceived. The third one in the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 9 and 10. Write these down. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Hey, Paul said, don't you know that the unrighteous is not going to inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous out yonder in the world is not going to heaven, he's saying. Amen. Somebody said, I believe I can live the way I want to live. I can go where I want to go. I can do like I want to do. That's not so. God tells you in His Bible, brother, the unrighteous are not headed to heaven. The unrighteous are headed to hell. And we got a lot of saved folks today in the church that got some bad ways about them. Amen. You know what you ought to do about any bad habit and bad ways? Bad things in life, and it's hard to get you to admit that. You need to accept the fact that you are. have got some bad things and confess that before God and repent of it. And when you repent, you'll quit. Amen. Don't be like that. I had a church one time, and I'm telling you, I believe half the congregation's smokers. Bad. Amen. You smell them coming in and smell them going out. And they couldn't hardly wait. We had a singing or two. Back under, I inherited that. We don't have them here. We'd have a singing. They'd get up and sing three or four songs, the group would, and the rest of them's outside of smoking. They'd take smoke breaks before we got through the song service. And then I'd preach on it. I would skin their hide from the top of their head to the bottom of their foot. I'd preach it. I said, "You're not a smoker, you're a sucker." And they'd get upset, get disturbed, and they'd come walking down the aisle, and they'd take them cigarette packs out of their pocket, throw them down on the altar. Oh, that bothered me. Praise God. I can't stand that on the altar. That's where they need to be. Amen. Under the altar or something. That's where the individual, don't put the cigarettes there. Amen. And so they'd get up and they'd go back and sit down and said, "I give them up." And before they got out of the driveway, little red dots is, amen, running, coming out their lips. Amen. They wouldn't quit. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying today they'd let them things get, but they would get them old habits of going, and God's people can and Christians can. And by the way, you got old habits. Not, hey, you might not have that habit, but you got others. Amen. Amen. We can look at a list, and everybody can. If I give you a notepad this morning and said, "Go around and find out something wrong with everybody," you'd come back and find something wrong with everybody, but you probably couldn't find nothing wrong with you. But I could take your neighbors and they wouldn't find nothing wrong with them, but they could find things wrong with you. Amen. There'd be some things we'd pick out. But I want to tell you this morning, all of us have got things we need to confess before God. We ought to get rid of it. But he said here in 1 Corinthians, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Then he said, "Be not deceived." He said this, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Boy, you'll find a lot of them going to church. A lot of these right here tote their Bible. Amen. I had a hard time with that little word effeminate many times. When I was a young preacher, I didn't know what effeminate was. Amen. But I've learned to notice it pretty often now. What is effeminate? Sissy men. Amen. Sissy men. Henpecked. Sissy men. I used to tell my boys, "I'm going to make men out of you. You don't walk like a man, you're in trouble. I want you to walk like a man, smell like a man, look like a man." Never did. I took them down to the barber shop, got their hair cut off. It paid off. I don't know whether they're trying to please me now or not, but I think it's inbred in them. One of them was talking the other day, and one of them said, "Daddy," so there's things I done. Isn't it amazing when they get your kids grown, they'll tell you things that they done, and you'd have beat the devil out of them if you'd have known about it when they was little. Oh, Troy said he went down and put on a pair of shorts, and he wore them shorts. And he said, he went down and the woman looked at him and said, "Boy, you're sure white, ain't you?" He done told on himself. He wasn't used to that. And he said, "I felt so funny and so bad and didn't do it no more." Amen. You understand what I'm saying this morning? They'll tell you, "Well, I believe it sticks." I always say, "You're going to be boys. You're going to make men. I want them to be men, and I want them to not be lazy." And I failed on the second one, but I got the first one. They're not as lazy as some folks, but they are lazy. I don't know where it's lazy. They're trying to figure out easier ways to do things. I guess that's it. And I said, "I want you to smell like a man if you have to leave your deodorant off." I mean, I don't want you going, "Psst, psst, psst." And everybody said, "Ooh, you smell good." effeminate. Effeminate. He said that crowd's not going to heaven. And he tells us, be not deceived. This crowd that looks good and smells good and acts good, they're not all going to heaven. Be not deceived. Number four. 1 Corinthians 15:33 said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Our talking, brother, I'll tell you, the way we communicate one another will either make good manners or bad manners. And then number five. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7 said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow beans, you don't expect potatoes. You sow corn, you don't expect to have beans. You sow corn, you get corn. You sow corn, you get more than you sowed. Isn't it amazing, one grain of corn will make two ears of corn sometimes, at least one. Have you ever counted to see how many's on there? More than one, ain't they? I mean, God gives you enough even for the cornworms to have a good meal. Hear me. You sow your corn, it'll always be later than you sowed it. Be more than you, and hey, I want to tell you, it'll always reap in a harvest. So will your sin. It'll reap later than you sowed it. More than you sowed it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14. Paul said, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Here's a truth that a lot of people overlook. Somebody said, Eve, give Adam the tree and he eat that fruit. And Adam ought to know better. I'll give you some information that I just got here from the scriptures and I give it to you. Adam did know better. Eve is the weaker vessel. Now God said that the woman's a weaker vessel, and that's why the devil came to Eve. He knowed he could get the best of her. She took of that fruit and then she turned around and gave it to Adam. Now you said he's stupid. Amen. Us men usually are. You know why he took it, knowing good and well? Knowing good and well God is telling the truth. When he took it knowingly. He knew what God said. He knew God was so. And he took it. Why? He knew that he'd be separated from her forever. Think about that. Human flesh got involved. And here he is. He takes of that fruit knowing and willingly he took that fruit. He was not deceived. He knew better. She didn't hoodwink him. She didn't persuade him. He took that willingly. And then we find what happened in the transgression. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 13, the Bible said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. God said in the last days, it's exactly what's going to happen. God said in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. Listen to this. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. That means they serve in self. And it said, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the people. How are we deceived? By the fancy words. That's what bothers me about these deceivers. Preachers in the pulpit would deceive their congregation. I'll tell you what, I don't want to stand before God and give account for deceiving you and not giving you the truth. There's not but one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. You said, how do I know that? I don't know that, preacher. First of all, the Bible says, you said, but how do I know that Bible is right? How do I know? See, the deceivers have done been to your house. They've done been knocking on your door. They've already infiltrated your brain. They've already been picking at your heart. If you can't believe the Word of God, there's no hope for you. You mean, preacher, if I don't believe that Bible is the Word of God, there's no hope? I said, if you don't believe the Word of God, there's no hope for you. God said, you know, how would you believe that there's a God this morning if you didn't have a Bible? That's what separates us from all the other religions of the world, by the way. We believe the Word of God. Other people call the Word of God the words of men. They don't call it the words of men, but they call it the Bible. But it's not any more than just the words of men. But our Bible is authoritative. It comes from heaven. These are the very words of God. You cannot be deceived by the words of God, accepted like they are in the book. Somebody's got to mess with you. You got to mess with your mind for you to be deceived about the Word. I believe it. But he said what they'll do is by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. They will deceive you by fair speeches and good words, great swelling words. Have you ever heard preachers, and I say that they're great orators. I've heard preachers, and I said, boy, how in the world do they say that like that? And I'll tell you what, they will impress you with their wisdom. They will impress you with what they know. They will impress you with their charisma. You say, boy, how could anybody not believe what that preacher's saying? Amen. And then somebody gets up like me, slobbering, spits a little bit, and then, preacher, you do good, but kind of calm down a little bit. Kind of draw in yourselves. Listen, don't be so offensive. Preacher, every once in a while you skin my hide, and then that ain't enough. You got to throw a little salt in it. Don't do that anymore. And these people said on these great swelling words, and they go out the door and said, "Woo! I mean, what a sermon." Well, what did he say? Well, tell you the truth, I can't really get it all back what he said, but amen. But you know what? You know what I said when I skinned your hide? Amen. I like that old hide skinning preaching. I was raised under it. I still believe it gets the job done. Amen. Anything pat you on the back and squirt a little rose water out and make you smell better and feel better when you go out the door ain't good preaching. Amen. Said, boy, I enjoyed that sermon this morning. If you go out the door saying that, bless God, don't say it here in front of me. I'll make sure tonight we'll change it. I'll up the volume. I'll dig a little deeper. I'll get the swords out. Amen, the sword. Amen. You don't smile and get excited when you've been pricked by the sword. But if you don't get pricked by the sword, you don't recognize who you are and where you are, and we have too much deception. Amen. Hurriedly, 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to turn to this one. Got two or three little verses here, and we're going home. 2 Peter chapter 2. Got two or three more little places I want to go. We're through. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 17 said, these are wells without water. How many of you love dry wells? How many of you hate it when your well goes dry? That ought to be the way I say it. Yeah. That gets your attention, don't it? The Bible said, and he's talking about these false prophets and these false teachers, he said, these are wells without water. They're clouds that are carried with a tempest to whom the mist of the darkness is reserved for. He said they're like clouds that don't have no water. Have you ever seen it get real dark and you think it's going to rain? I've even heard a little thunder every once in a while, and they went right on over the top of the hill and not even a sprinkle. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promised themselves liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. He said, hey, these are wells without water. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Means they're sitting watching for you. And they're set their cap to deceive you. And how do they do it? They do it with great swelling words. And they do it with a sleight of men. It's kind of like a magician does. And they do it with cunning craftiness. And they lay in wait to do it to you. Ephesians 5, 6 said, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't let them deceive you with vain words. Words of vain. Vain words is words of no value, no good, useless. 1 John 1, 8, the Bible said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. God even says we can deceive ourselves. By thinking we're something that we're not. We're not special. We're not sinless. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Ain't nothing wrong with me, preacher. I mean, you preach to me like you think I'm an idiot. You think I'm a heathen. Well, I don't know what you are. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball. I got the Bible. I didn't go to the soothsayers this morning to try to find out what was wrong with you. Wasn't no need. They wouldn't know anything anyhow. They'd lie to me. But all I done is get at the throne of God at His feet and say, Lord, those people need something. Give me something from heaven to give to them. And God, I pray you touch their hearts with whatever said. And that's what I'm trusting and depending on. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit of God. God knows how to get right down in there. A fellow told me a long time ago, said, you know how you catch a rabbit in a den and you think there's a rabbit in the hole? Said, you put a stick down in there and said, you turn it and you turn it and you pull it out. And if there's a little bit of fur on there, you got a rabbit down in there. You push it back in there, and you keep a twisting, and you keep a twisting, and his skin starts rolling up around the stick, and you pull him, and here he comes. Amen. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. He'll twist you out of your hole. Amen. He'll get a little fur. Amen. God knows where you are. Who you are, where you're headed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. Be not deceived. Some of you in this building this morning may have thought that you's all right. You may think you're all right. You may think that you've done what you're supposed to do, but you did not do what the Word of God says. The Bible says we must be born again. But some of you just flipped over a new leaf in your life. You just decided to do better and quit sinning, quit going here and quit going there, quit talking like this and quit talking like that. That's not salvation. That's reformation. We've reformed. But salvation changes things. It changes your heart, and your heart changes your mind. Your mind begins to think better and different, and your life is changed completely. God moves in. The devil moves out. Sin is not what you love no more. You hate it. You despise it. And you start following after Jesus. And you honor His Word and try to put all the words you can in your heart that you're not sinning against God. and you walk the way God wants, but you got to be born again. How do you get born again? Call upon the Lord. You repent of your sin. You confess sin before God. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to repent. What's repent? Turning from our wicked ways, going in a different direction, start taking on the form and life of Christ. You said, oh, I've done that. I'm not talking about from your head. I'm talking about from your heart. God transforms you from the inside out. If you have been transforming yourself or reforming yourself from the outside in and tried to convince yourself that you're all right, you've gone the wrong direction, you've been deceived. Now God wants to change that for you. And I'll give you the opportunity, heads bowed, eyes closed. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Get that song, Just As I Am. I love it. That's what God wants. Have you been deceived, hoodwinked? Have you been made to believe something that's not so? Has somebody convinced you that all you need to do is certain things and it didn't include being born again? You've been deceived. God wants to save you. Let's stand, please.